House will come to order. Representative Kasperic.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, it's not often when folks come down from the land of camels and energy to say hello to the legislators. So let me just introduce you to a few of my friends who came down. You know, we have Ken Barkey with Prime Rib Restaurant. We have Shelley Beezer with the Campbell County Airport. Terry Celine with Tourism. Mary Silvernail with Tourism. And Claudia Erlob with Retailers. Isn't it exciting?
Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege?
Yes, please.
Here in the fishbowl here, I'd like to introduce two people who came a long way. We have our Executive Director of the Evanston Chamber of Commerce, Don Darby, and Executive Director-elect, Brett McCoy.
Representative Allen. No, it's not on.
There, it's on now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege?
Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce from Lander, Carol King with the Lander Area Chamber of Commerce.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So some of them have already been introduced, but please welcome all of the leaders from Wyoming's lodging, restaurant, and tourism industry who are here for the annual Governor's Hospitality and Tourism Conference.
Representative Walters.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, please.
And back in the gallery, if you would please welcome Brooke Kreider from Casper, the head of the Casper Area Visitors and Tourism Bureau.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Mr. Speaker, in the fishbowl, we have Rachel Grimes, who's our director of the Sublette County Chamber of Commerce. Please welcome her.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
Thank you. I'd also like to recognize those great red shirts that you saw a few minutes ago taking a tour of the House and now a few at the Senate. These are folks from the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America. And right now we have with us Pat Mischke's, who is one of the leaders, and Kylie Carroll and Libby Heimbrough, and they are... from Tongue River High School, and they're doing a great job in what they do, and they wanted to come learn about what we're doing.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege while everyone's still standing.
Yes, please.
From the County of Cole, tourism people, Tina Hill and Leslie Jefferson. Thank you.
Okay, any more? Is that it? All right. We are continuing bills on second reading. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 71. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 71 from Representative Throne, an act relating to governmental claims.
House Bill 71 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, if so ordered? Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 74. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 74 from Labor, an act relating to the Wyoming Medical Assistance and Services Act.
House Bill 74, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered? Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 75. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 75 from Management Audit, and Act Relating to Professions and Occupations.
House Bill 75 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 76 from Representative Harvey, an act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 76 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 77. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 77 from Representative Somers, an act relating to ad valorem taxation.
House Bill 77 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 80 from Representative Greer, an act relating to the Wyoming Community College Commission.
House Bill 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 81 from Representative Dayton, an act relating to court supervised treatment.
House Bill 81 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be heard a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 82 from Representative Larson, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 82 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 84 from Representative Laux, an act relating to local licenses.
House Bill 84 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 85. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 85 from Appropriations, an act relating to higher education.
House Bill 85 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 86 from Representative Croker, an act relating to concealed weapons.
There is an amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that, I would like to move House second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 86 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this does is try and address the question that I had last week regarding when we have an interim committee meeting inside of a school. And so in doing so, this amendment should address that issue. And it says that weapons wouldn't be allowed in a school and that the school's priorities would actually take precedence over that governmental meeting taking place in the school. And so with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Croker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill doesn't change the, or this amendment doesn't change the intent of the bill. It just clarifies by pointing back to what's already in statute, so it's fine, so it's friendly.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second? Okay, question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 86. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 86 has passed. House Bill 86 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 88 from Representative Stebson, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 88 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 95 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to unclaimed property.
House Bill 95 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 97. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 97 from Representative Winters, an act relating to agriculture.
House Bill 97 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 101 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to public depositories.
House Bill 101 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 104. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 104 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to Food Freedom Act.
House Bill 104 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 105. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 105 from Representative Throne, an act relating to welfare.
House Bill 105, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 107. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 107 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to real property.
House Bill 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 108 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to corporations.
House Bill 108, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 113 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act.
House Bill 113, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 114 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to the Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities Program.
House Bill 114, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 117 from Representative Eklund, an act relating to pesticide registration.
House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 118. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 118 from Representative Throne, an act relating to children.
House Bill 118, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 130 from Representative Clem, an act relating to juvenile detention.
House Bill 130, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 137 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to controlled substances.
House Bill 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 138 from Representative Larson, an act relating to health care.
House Bill 138, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 140 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 140, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections, so ordered. The next and last bill for consideration on second reading is House Joint Resolution 3. The reading clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution 3 from Representative Stebson, a joint resolution petitioning Congress to call a convention to propose amendments to the Constitution of the United States to require a balanced federal budget.
House Joint Resolution, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 149, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 4, Military Service Member Protections, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 150, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration, -2, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 151, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 18, Competitive Bid Specification Requirements, Ayes 28, No 2, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 152, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 24, Supplemental At-Risk Funding for Early Childhood Education, Ayes 25, Noes 5, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 153, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 39, cease and transfer priority list, ICE 30 No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 154, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicator, Senate File 50, Sexual Assault - Position of Authority, ICE 22, Nose 8, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 155, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicator, Senate File 52, State Shrub, ICE 25, Nose 5, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 156, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicator, Senate File 53, 2016 Large Project Funding, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 157, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicator, Senate File 58, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 158, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 60, Public Health Nursing, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 159, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 62, Homemade Beverages, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 160, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicator, Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs, - Revisions, ICE 27, No. 3, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 161, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 65, Patent Trolling, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 162, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit - state highways, ICE 28, Nose 2, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 163, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 73, Welfare Fraud Prevention, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 164, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, Senate File 74, State Minors Hospital Board Employees, ICE 27, No. 3, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 165, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicator, Senate File 82, Palliative Care, ICE 16, Nose 14, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 166, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicator, Senate File 85, Medical Education, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 167, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicator, Senate File 86, Medical Assistance Program Design, ICE 22, Nose 8, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 168, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicator, Senate File 89, Workers' Compensation - Time for Requesting Hearing, ICE 30, No. 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 169, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, Senate File 90, Lifetime Game and Fish Licenses - Purple Heart Recipients, ICE 29, Nose 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 170, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, Senate File 91, State Penal Facilities Review, ICE 29, Nose 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 171, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 94, Payment for Educational Services, ICE 30, Nose 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 172, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 6, First Judicial District, Number of District Judges, Ayes 21, Noes 9, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 173, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 92, State Construction Project, Ayes 27, Noes 3, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 2, engrossed, Attorney General Opinions-Legislative Request, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winner, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 10, engrossed, Firearms Exemption from Execution, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 103, At-Will Employment Contracts, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 11, Youth Challenge Program, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills on general file. Senate File 7, 8, 23, 26, 46, 47, 49, 56, and 59.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Walters.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 7. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 7 for Minerals and Acquiring to Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Remediation Projects, authorizing expenditure of previously apportioned funds, establishing a prioritized list of projects, authorizing the Department of Environmental Quality Limited Discretionary Authority to modify the prioritized list, providing a definition, repealing a prior list of priority remediation projects, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 7, Landfill Remediation Priority List, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Kasparik?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 7 do pass. And for explanation of the bill, I turn it over to the representative from House District 38.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a real simple bill. We work on this every year, and this is the landfill remediation priority list. So as you work your way through the bill on page 2, the list really starts on line 10 and goes on to page 3 and then on to page 4, page 5, and the effective date is on page 7, actually. And really what it is these communities complete their projects, they go off the list. As they find their needs and find their portion of the funding, they go onto the list. The agency prioritizes that list based on funds available both from the community and from the state. And every year we keep working on it. So with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Kasperich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 7 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 7 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 8 from Travel, an act relating to highway, bicycle, and pedestrian safety, creating a task force to study the benefits and opportunities of bicycle and pedestrian pathways and natural service trails in the state, specifying task force membership and staffing, providing additional duties to the Wyoming Business Council, requiring reports, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, in Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 8, engrossed Bicycle and Pedestrian System Task Force, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that a do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Petroff, and Schwartz. Two no votes, Representatives Larson and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 8 do pass. And I further move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and to dispense with the Standing Committee Amendment, what we did was instead of requiring the state epidemiologist to be on the task force, it was either the state epidemiologist or other department of the other employee of the Department of Health to give them flexibility. And then the second thing was a section that was added in the Senate that was requiring the task force to consider implementation of an annual and lifetime pass to state trails. And we didn't want to drive the task force in that direction unless they felt they wanted to go that way. And we thought that it was covered on page 4, line 18 in that section. So if there are no questions on the amendment, I will call the question on the amendment.
Okay. Question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted, and we are back on the bill, Chairman Petroff.
And for explanation of the bill, I turn it over to the representative veterinarian.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Senate File 8. Senate File 8 is a product of an assignment given to us by the Management Council for the interim. It's also something that was discussed in bill we had last year. As a part of a bill, did not move forward in that venue, was assigned as a interim topic, and here it is before you. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a task force. Let's be clear, there are no legislators that are required to be a part of this task force. I'll just walk you quickly through the bill, and then I'll let other folks talk to the merits of the bill. The bill contains a delineation of 13 members for this task force. One change that was made in the Senate is on page 3, where they add, it was 11, it came from the Senate with 13. They added a representative from the ag industry and a representative from the trucking industry. That's on page 3, lines 13 through 17. So those are two additions they made, and I would suggest they are solid additions. So the purpose is on the following, actually on page 4 and 5, and this basically is developing a plan to benefit our state in three ways: health of our citizens, safety of bicycle and foot pedestrian traffic across and through our state, and the economic developments that may be accrued from that. The sixth page, you'll see some reporting requirements. Obviously, one of them, the first report being October of this year, and the following October of 17. There is no fiscal note to this, as there is no cost. The state employees that are involved, and there are several, will do it as part of their state function, state duty job functions, and the volunteers from industries and elsewhere all came forward and said they were more than willing to be a part of this. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the bill, and I'd be glad to stand for any questions. Thank you.
Any discussion on the bill? Representative Larson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'm on and against this bill. This is a duplicative committee YDOT is currently doing with not quite as many members. If we need to add members to that committee, why don't we do that? With committee memberships described in the bill, the task force could possibly consist of 6 state employees out of 13. The bill also states the business council is to provide executive secretary and staff as needed. This is a cost to the state by adding additional jobs to some employees of the state. Some committee tasks which concern me are the task to identify accidents, both serious and fatal, which YDOT is already doing. Task to consider annual and lifetime passes to use state trails. This is currently be required already by the state's state parks. The task to identify funding options such as private, corporate, nonprofit, local, state, and federal. YDOT is currently considering bicycles in the new designs of their roads. This is another feel-good bill, and the main focus is to find funds. I encourage a vote against the bill.
Any further, Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. So, first of all, just to clarify what the last speaker said about the trails fee implementation, that was what we voted out in that First Amendment. So that is not part of the bill as it stands now in the House. But the department that deals with roads in our states does have a task force, but that only deals with state highways. That doesn't deal with any local roads. And what we're trying to do is to dovetail those efforts so that local communities can benefit from all of the studies that and the expertise that the Department of Transportation has in these issues. And so what the local communities are looking for is, you know, how do we build them safest? What's going on in other communities? What is the state planning? And how can we combine efforts in the state? The task force is looking at funding from private individuals and from corporations and from and grants from foundations and all kinds of things that if a community had to do this by themselves, it would be a whole lot of work. And so this was something that was brought to us with enthusiasm from a lot of different communities because they wanted to be able to share information. And this is a very inexpensive and efficient way to share that information. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I also am a little concerned with this bill. I've heard this quite a few times when we were on the TRW committee, and the idea that we need to study the trails, the equestrian trails, bike trails, walking trails, everything that's going along. It's always been a good idea, but in this economy right now, I'm not sure it's something we ought to be undertaking. And my main concern is, and it was brought up, the number of employees. They said, well, there isn't any fiscal note to this. Well, every time you have a meeting and you have the number of the members on the task force, I think it was said there's only 5 of them that are from private, and those people are going to donate their time, and that was pointed out. But the rest of them are state employees, and as they take off to go to a meeting, I'm not sure that's really free, so they're saying there's no cost. I think there's quite a bit of cost involved with this, so right now isn't the time to be doing this, and I'd appreciate you thinking of that. Thank you.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just have a question back to the good presenter, because we talk about the no fiscal note in that. There are costs associated with it, and it appears to me that the report and the staffing, that will just come out of business council budget, and if you would just let me know if that's correct.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just following up from what the last speaker said, I was wondering if the people on this committee can tell me, or on the standing committee, can tell me how the Wyoming Business Council ended up fitting into this, and how did they have any information as to how much it's going to cost them, or who's going to do it? Do they have somebody that's an expert in this area, or how did they, of all of our departments, how did they become the one that was the lead agency?
Representative Summers.
Mr. Majority Whip, thank you. I stand on in support of this bill. My communities have multiple bicycle paths created by multiple jurisdictions, and I think it's a good idea to take a good overview of the whole program and see where the trails go, and I just think it's wise to coordinate these efforts.
Representative Bono.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to respond to a few of the questions before any more testimony comes at us so we can maybe get some of these. And when I said there was no, the fiscal note was there was no fiscal note or no additional monies, I recognize that we are asking state employees to take on a duty. And so there is a impact within their current duties, adding a duty to it. So there's no question about that. But no, we're not asking for additional dollars for them to do this job. The second point was, why was the agency that's tasked with, secretarying or kind of being the point agency for this, why that particular agency? Because we've considered this economic development, and that agency tends to be in that part. This is the number two industry in our state we're talking about. We're talking about tourism. And so that seemed to be a relatively natural fit. If somebody has a better idea for an agency that might be able to accommodate the needs of this type of a study, certainly recognize that. And then there was a question. I wanted to be clear that there was the first mention was, we're duplicating something. We're not duplicating anything. Actually, I would argue that we're augmenting and enhancing something that one entity is doing, and we're actually broadening the discussion so that all more of the stakeholders are at the table, including the folks that would be concerned about having bicycles on their roads. That's where we brought in the ag and the trucking industry, because they would be one of the folks that would, you know, cause some of the there would be some interactions between the folks on the roads and our existing industries. So I think I covered several of them. And let's be clear, the other thing that this bill does not do, it does not affect any right-of-ways outside of public right-of-ways. Everything that's being contemplated in this bill is existing public right-of-ways, cities, towns, counties, and state right-of-ways. Thank you.
Representative Lax.
Mr. Whipper. I'm going to speak against this bill, and it's not because I don't like bicycles, and we all love bicycles, and we want our kids to ride on them and be safe and all that, but I guess I could just act like I'm the man above right now, and I bet you the task force comes out and says, you know what, we need to have a whole lot more bike trails on every road, and I'm sure that's what the result will be, and I agree with that, and that costs money. And let's just say that from now forward, you know, we look real close to all the roads. When we redo it, we put a really nice bike trail on. I think that saves you a lot of money with people getting together for it. Anyway, thank you.
Representative Wendell.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. On and against, just based off the premise that we just heard from a representative that sits very close to me, in my heart also. And it's nice. It was stated that his community already has a lot of these paths in place. So on a local option, are we stepping on toes if we go with this piece of legislation? And that's my concern. So vote no.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you. I got to take these because they're coming fast and furious. So maybe the recommendation is we need some more paths. But the point of to going back to the both of the previous speakers is we need better coordination, and that's what this is about. This is not about more roads. This is about better coordination, because we have a lot of good efforts going on around the state, let's actually have a conversation so we're talking together. I think every one of us have brought something to that, whether it's on a mental health issue. We had that some of that discussion the last couple of days, better coordination, whether it's about, you know, all the different things we're talking about. We want better coordination because we want more effective use of our dollars, whether they're public dollars or private dollars. We want a more effective use of our dollars. So this is about coordination, not just build it, build it, build it. Thank you.
Representative Cookwood.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. To support what the presenter of the bill just said, a lot of the testimony alluded to studying and cooperating and marketing and picking off the low-hanging fruit. So it's not a bill about spending a lot of money or duplicating the interstate highway system in 10-foot wide increments. But as I said, it's just putting together a good study to think about how we can advance the state's tourism industry and trim all our waistlines with bicycles.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. Wyoming, many people in Wyoming don't know that we are at the crossroads of two major national pathways. The Trans-American pathway goes straight through Wyoming, and so does the Continental Divide pathway. What this bill is intended to do is to create a synergy. We have the highway department is already trying to make things safer. We already have local communities that are putting pathways in their own communities, and we have people that are promoting it economically. And that's what this committee is supposed to do. Is it's supposed to bring more and more people together and find the low-hanging fruit. I like that. The state of beavers and ducks, they collect $1.1 million a day from bicycle tourism. And since we've had this into committee, I've read a lot of articles that are going on. Many of the people that are doing the touring are basically people my age, and they have a lot of money, and they spend a lot of time in the hospitality area. That didn't come out right. pardon me. I think one of the big things is safety. They're trying to find a way to make our roads and our pathways safer and to interconnect with that. The comment on, well, we're going to build pathways along the roads. In some places, that's the best thing to do. But I would submit to you that the best thing to do is just to make the road a little wider, and then don't put the ruffle strips there to where that it becomes a vibrating ride as you go down the road. The wider strips help with the winds that come into Wyoming in the winter, because you have more places to shovel off the snow, and you can also bring the cyclists through. Cycling is a growing means of transportation, and in my mind, being a bicycle tourist for over 30 years, we're about 30 years behind. Thank you, Mr. Whip.
Representative Kinnear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill, I'm hoping to get us back on the right path. The folks in my area are working hard on trails and so on and paths, and they've contacted me, and they said this would be very helpful to have this task force to coordinate all the efforts around the state. We're actually spending tourist dollars in our area in marketing for our area, and if we could do that, maybe a little more coordinated effort, and perhaps, who knows, maybe even on a statewide effort, they see real value in attracting those tourist dollars to Wyoming. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. On and in support of this bill, on the correct side of the Continental Divide, this is huge. And in the spirit of making this work, since duplication of effort seems to be an objection, and I'm wondering, would the committee that's sponsoring this bill be amenable to an amendment along the lines of all meetings shall be conducted electronically?
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. Just to add to our conversation a little bit, I just went to the Wyoming Department of Transportation to the Transportation Alternatives Program. And that is a federally funded community-based projects program. And they have a committee working together already that is comprised of the Wyoming Association of Municipalities, the Wyoming County Commissioners Association, the Wyoming Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, the Director of the Wyoming Department of Transportation, and the Federal Highway Administration, and the YDOT employees. So I do contend this is a duplication, and you can find it on the Internet. So thank you very much.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In respect of this particular bill, I think we need to do it because if we don't, we're going to lose probably the physical capability of one of our leaders because he won't have a home to go to if it doesn't pass.
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So a couple things. I think I thank our colleague from our committee about bringing up who is on the existing committee. I think that points out that it is not broad-based, does not include agriculture, does not include trucking industry, does not include other things. And the thing that it does include, that this does not, includes the federal government. So, folks, actually, if we want to do something that's Wyoming-grown, Wyoming, this is the way to do it. So I would say that this actually gives us a much better path, we're going to go with those type of things, to accomplishing something, coordinating our tours, coordinating a new opportunity, a growing opportunity in our second leading industry, that's tourism. Let's have that conversation. Let's let them have it. I'm very amenable to the suggestion that we have some kind of a cost reduction type of an approach. That's fine, and I think the participants in this would be amenable to that because they're going to be traveling too. So, and obviously these are going to be public meetings as well. So I'm amenable to that and would work with the good recommender of that as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. So my understanding, just to be clear, of the task force that's already in place is that they are dealing with the federal funds and they're dealing with state roads, state and federal highways. And so what we're trying to do here is to dovetail those efforts, not duplicate those efforts, but to take all the information from there and then be able to apply it to the locals. Thank you.
Representative Clam.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. One thing that I'll just add to the conversation is this has a lot of local support. Throughout our meetings, we have received emails and we have received testimony from locals and from grassroots movements, really wanting this study done, and that was really one of the linchpins for me. Is the locals are really wanting it, so it's a benefit that it is really cost neutral. Although, as it was mentioned before, there are some costs that are going to be built into some of these job duties within the state. But with that, I just wanted to mention that it has a lot of local support. So on and for the bill.
Representative Freeman.
Just real quick, I think that there's going to be a lot of meetings done electronically. I would just hope that we wouldn't handcuff people to where that they only could meet electronically. Sometimes they like to see each other's trails and see what they've done, and I think that would be productive. But any comment to where that we reduce as much as we can, I think would be beneficial.
Any further discussion on Senate Bill 23, I mean 8, I'm sorry. Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Petroff motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that Senate File 8 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 23. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 23 for minerals, an act relating to environmental quality, amending the state's authority to regulate source material from recovery or milling, and created byproduct material as specified, providing for the Department of Environmental Quality to implement and administer the program, requiring licensure, providing license requirements as specified, providing rulemaking authority, providing definitions, amending definitions, repealing superseded provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, who was referred Senate File 23 engrossed, NRC Agreement State Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters, Representative Gay was excused, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Vice Chairman Kasparik?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Whip. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 23 do pass, and will turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from House District 38.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Cool Whip. This bill before us today, Senate File 23, is really just conforming language as the NRC agreement state gets set up here in the state of Wyoming. We passed this legislation a year ago through this body and the body on the other end of the building to allow the state of Wyoming to handle all of the permitting and everything that goes along with the nuclear industry. And so as this got started and got going, they found out they needed to have a little bit more language put into statute to conform with what the feds require to make sure that we're on pace. So with that, we're on schedule. The state of Wyoming is on schedule to stand the program up in 3 to 4 years, just as they had anticipated. They are hiring people in the department as needed just to keep standing it up and keep things moving forward. With that, unless somebody has a specific question, I think I will hold off going through the bill in the interest of time, page by page, and just take questions.
Any discussion on the bill? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. Hey, just, you know, I understood is we should be well under 3 years in standing up the program. Okay, and then, so I'm reading this saying that these rules are becoming effective immediately. And so just because I'm a little bit removed from this whole discussion, I would appreciate just understanding why these are put in place right now, just that timeline for me, if you would.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. So these are going into place right now based on the discussions that have taken place with the NRC or with the federal agency that's working on this. And that really is what has brought them about, as they have had their discussions every week or every 2 weeks and more often as needed. They've had found out that there were a few holes that we had left in the legislation last year, and so they're trying to fill those in as we go. Would be the best I can answer that.
Any further discussion? Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Miracle Whip. Yeah, would like to, as we heard in committee, the body will remember that we allocated 6 positions to come into this NRC, which is initially funded for, I think, 2 years, and then will be funded the rest of the time by industry is when this is stood up. And what we heard from the administrator is he thought that we were well on pace to have that stood up, I believe he said, in a year from this coming July. And so those positions, what we currently have in place is we have one administrator who's had a young man that's got extensive experience in the nuclear and uranium industry, and we've got one engineer, which was an in-house position that we moved to this position, and we look to stand up 2 more of those remaining positions up in March and 2 more up in June. The need for this is just as we set up, the administration has to start setting the rules in place that govern so that they can get, and then they have to go through some extensive training to make sure that the staff and those administering it understand the rules that we are now putting into place, understand what they are and how they relate to the agencies.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Just a little bit more background on this. The NRC used to have a Denver, Colorado office, and our operators in Wyoming were regulated out of that office. It worked just fine. About probably 15 years ago, they shut the office down and moved back to the East Coast, cut staff because that particular industry had shrunk a great deal. Now that it's started back up, we have actually three new operations in Wyoming the last 8 years or so. Pretty much since we've been talking about this bill and the Nuclear Energy Task Force we had a few years ago. So, you know, this is a little bit countercyclic to our fossil fuels industry. So we're getting a little bit of severance tax from this. They also pay the fees that it's going to take to put this department within the DEQ. The fees right now are paid to Washington, D.C. Those fees will come back to Wyoming and are going to more than pay for the staff that we've had to hire.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Vice Chairman Kasparik's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 23 do pass, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 23 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Back to you, Representative Walters.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File, 26 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to administration of government, amending provisions governing timelines for the disposition of unexpended appropriations, amending reporting requirements, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 26, lapsing of appropriated funds dash amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I do so with the recommendation that Senate File 26 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments, which I'll explain briefly. Folks, this is a continuation of the good work of our Management Audit Committee. You'll recall last year we were very fortunate with the windfall of reversion, some of which were 10 years old. Even in this budget session when we were taking testimony, there were a couple agencies that had reversions that were going on 4 years old. And so what we're trying to do is get this process standardized and cleaned up, and so it simply just makes it, the process more effective so that we identify and report these previously appropriated funds back to the legislature. So, and what we did in the Appropriations Committee, Mr. Chairman and members, was to simply change a couple dates on page 3. And the testimony there is that these dates would work on line 9. We moved December 1st up to November 15th, and then on line 15 from December 31st to December 1st. And the reason those dates are important, particularly December 1st, that we'll have this information in future years when your Appropriations Committee meets, we're going to know the total of what we have out there as far as reversions and revenue and all those kind of things. So I'd stand for any questions. Question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Moving back to the bill, Chairman Harshman. Question being called. All those in favor of Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 26 do pass. Please say aye. All those opposed, no. Senate File 26 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 46 from Judiciary, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, amending procedures and requirements for forfeiting and seizing property, providing definitions, providing immunity for forfeiture actions, conforming provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 46, Asset Forfeiture-1, respectfully reports same back with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 46 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments, and Representative from the center of the state will explain the bill.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, you'll remember last year we passed a bill dealing with asset forfeiture, and I think we all remember what happened with that one. So our committee was tasked to look at the topic again, and I'll give a brief overview of what the bill did last year and what the differences are with this bill and what this bill does. Last year, you remember, we passed a bill that required a criminal conviction before the state could forfeit any goods. And there's two aspects involved in this process. One is seizure, one is forfeiture. Think of seizure like the arrest. If somebody was charged with a crime, you would arrest them. You can sometimes hold that person until the trial. Then they have the trial. Then the person is either convicted or set free. And then the second part, the forfeiture, is kind of like the sentencing that happens. So last year's bill, goods that were seized, it would have required the individual to be charged with a crime and convicted in a court of a felony. Then after the felony happened, then the state would proceed with a second motion to forfeit those goods and have those turned over to the state. This year's bill is slightly different. It doesn't go quite that far, but it is a huge step in that direction and a huge step towards protecting the rights of those who are having their possessions seized. First of all, there really is no process in our statutes right now. That was one of the reasons we had brought this bill in the first place. The current standard basically says if the officer making the seizure, if he thinks that there's the appearance that it might have been used in a crime, that's the standard that's in law, and that's not really a standard at all. And then there's not a process clearly defined. It is up to the individual to sue the state, to go to court, to prove their innocence, to be able to get their stuff back. And this bill puts a clear process in place. It starts out a law enforcement officer, if he suspects that he has probable cause to be able to make a seizure, his first step is he contacts the attorney general, and the attorney general makes the call to say, yes, there is probable cause, you may proceed, or no, there's not. If he gets the go-ahead from the attorney general, he can then proceed with the seizure. Then it's set up so that it will go in front of a judge within 30 days, where a judge will review the seizure, and the judge will determine if there was probable cause or not. If there was no probable cause, then at that point the property that was seized is returned to the person who had it taken from. If there was probable cause, then it gets lined up for a trial. Kind of think of this as a grand jury. A grand jury doesn't determine innocence or guilt, but a grand jury does determine if there's enough evidence to proceed, you know, with the trial. This step is kind of like that, and I think it's very important because it has a very tight time window, and it does provide that judicial review to make sure that there was probable cause for the seizure. Then it provides a process where the state has to prove in court by clear and convincing evidence that the assets were likely used in the crime. The standard is not quite as high as beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the criminal standard, but it does shift the burden to the state from the individual. So this is a huge step forward because it is the responsibility of the state to prove their case versus the individual having to prove his innocence. And I think that is a huge protection and a huge step forward there. A few other things that are in the bill There's a proportionality clause, so it says that what is seized must be in proportion to the crime committed. So as an example, if there was one joint that was partially smoked that was found in a car, you can't seize somebody's new car over that level of the crime because it doesn't fit the penalty there. There's also innocent owner protection. So if, for example, if a parent let a kid use their car and they didn't know that he was up to criminal activity, you can't take the parent's car away because they didn't intentionally let him have it. Or the other spot where that would apply is if it were like a car that was that had a lien against it from the bank, the bank's lien would be protected. You can't take it from them. There also is a reporting requirement so that all seizure cases will be reported to the Judiciary Committee so we can evaluate and have a clear, transparent process of how much was seized and what the circumstances was. And the other protection is there is fee shifting. So if the individual is found innocent and has had his stuff returned to him, he can turn around and sue the state for court costs and damages so that he can be reimbursed for his attorney fees and time. And so that's a big incentive for the state not to pursue frivolous cases because it can actually have some financial repercussions. And again, this is slightly different from a criminal case because in a criminal case, a person is provided an attorney if they cannot afford one. And in a civil case, the state doesn't provide the person with an attorney, so he is responsible for hiring and paying for the attorney himself. So that's why we thought it was appropriate to allow him to seek damages if he does win his case so we can have his attorney costs paid for. And that is the bill in a nutshell. If there's any specific questions on any of the details, I will gladly answer them.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to echo those sentiments. It's not the bill that we passed last year. It's a huge step in the right direction. And given what happened to last year's bill, I would urge your support for this measure.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree this is a step in the right direction. But the question I have is, earlier I voted on a bill for forfeitures under human trafficking, and the standard in that is your property is seized, it's returned to you, unless you're convicted. That's one of the reasons I voted for that bill. And so now we're going to have two different forfeiture statutes with two different standards, and I just want to know the committee that reviewed this and worked on this over the interim, it discussed that, and what was the justification for two different standards?
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The big issue is that it's two different sections of law, and I guess my argument would be that I still am of the opinion that the right thing to do is require a criminal conviction. This doesn't go that far, but it does go a long ways in protecting the rights. But I guess my argument would be the other bill created a section where under current law there was no authorization to take those assets. And so any further new law that we put into the books, I believe, should require that criminal process. This law deals with laws that are already on the books, so it allows stuff to be taken without a standard. So I would argue that the putting a standard in place and protecting the people whose stuff is taken in these cases is much better because the alternative is to leave it the way it is where there's no standard at all.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems that we're on Committee of the Whole and supposed to have these discussions. I agree that on the human trafficking, we inserted that into the statutes and we had the higher standard, and I agree with that. I mean, I think that was appropriate to do. You say you would argue, but you're not persuasive to me as to why we didn't match up the standard. To me, when we're talking about the forfeiture of assets, it doesn't matter. You can have a list of crimes that this applies to, the seizure of the assets and then the later forfeiture. And we really should try to have the same standard all the way through that.
I guess maybe we'll have a further discussion on other readings, maybe.
Any further discussion? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my response would be I completely agree, and in the future I will continue to work for a criminal conviction, but I don't want to not pass this bill and find someone who's had potentially had their rights violated and say, hey, I voted against giving you some protection instead of none. So I think it's a step in the right direction, and I think it's the first step in what hopefully will be another further step to follow.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 46 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate file 46 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 47. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 47 from Judiciary. An act relating to criminal history records requiring a court to conduct a hearing to determine the risk of reoffense for juvenile sex offenders as specified, requiring the disclosure of information as specified, providing a conflict of law provision, amending related provisions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 47, Juvenile Sex Offender-Risk Assessment, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winter, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 47 do pass. I further move the standing committee amendment and ask you to vote no. Staff has informed us that we have some issues with that amendment, and we'll bring it back on a second or third reading. So I'll call for the question on the standing committee amendment and then turn the bill over to the representative from District 22 to explain the bill. So question.
Question being called on standing committee amendment number 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no.
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. We are back on the bill. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Senate File 47. It came out of the interim work of the Joint Judiciary Committee. And the purpose of this bill is to provide judges and prosecutors with more discretion on whether a child is placed on our sex offender registry. In 2011, this legislature enacted the present statute in response to the federal statute, but we exceeded the federal requirements and guidelines. This has had a long-term negative impact on juveniles who are at low risk for reoffending and for the victims. The bill modifies the statute to register dangerous juveniles and have low-risk juveniles receive the treatment they need without the burden of being put on a sexual offender registry. We learned in testimony that the low-risk offenders have virtually zero recidivism rate. They do not go on to reoffend when they turn 18 and become adults, yet they have been stuck on a sexual offender registry. So this bill provides three levels of registration and a means to assess future likelihood of reoffending. This bill would keep the low-risk offenders off the registry, give the judiciary a little discretion in the moderate-risk level offenders, but the high-risk offenders would still be on the registry with a full notification that requires. So that is a summary of the bill. We will be coming back with an amendment to fix the one that we just defeated. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Discussion. Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am on and in support of this bill. However, I do have a question, and that is, who is the one that determines these levels? Is that the judiciary or the court? Is that DFS? I'm just curious as to who makes that determination. Thanks.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a multidisciplinary team. Excuse me. There's a multidisciplinary team that would make recommendations to the prosecutor, the defense attorney, and the judge. And in their experience, they will be able to assess the likelihood of reoffending. There are some tools out there, three specifically that are used most often, that can be consulted in making these assessments. And these tools are good both for risk assessment and treatment when it comes to outlining treatment protocols. So there are some tools out there available to everyone involved in these assessments, and these will be employed both for risk assessment and future treatment.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This situation and difficulty goes back to when I served on the Good Committee Number 1. And at the time we passed the current law, I think everybody on the committee was uncomfortable with penalizing for life low-level juvenile offenders. And I applaud Committee Number 1 for finding a solution. At the time we initially adopted the law, we didn't believe we had any flexibility under the federal law to make this change. And so I really appreciate their efforts. And just know that this has been a concern of former members of the committee and those people who serve juveniles in this situation. And I think that the local prosecutors certainly have the ability to, along with the multidisciplinary team, the ability to assess the risk of individual juveniles much better than just slapping them on a list arbitrarily.
Further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 47 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 47 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 49 from Labor, an act relating to insurance, exempting direct primary care agreements from insurance regulation, specifying requirements for exemption, providing definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 49, direct primary care-insurance exemption, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 49 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments and no Committee of the Whole amendments. That's because this is a really good bill. This bill does one thing. It exempts direct primary care from the insurance code, making it not an insurance code. It is not an insurance product. So let me tell you what it is. It is a contractual agreement between doctor and patient. The doctor says, you subscribe to my practice and pay X amount of dollars per month, and then the contract lines up what the doctor will provide. Some of the doctors provide lab work, quick strep tests. They do EKGs, not all, but these are some of the things that could be in these contracts. If you go to page 2 of the bill, that here are some of the consumer protections that we put in. And so it says a direct primary care agreement means a written agreement that is between a patient and their legal representative and or their legal representative and a health care provider. It allows either party to terminate the agreement in writing without penalty or payment of a termination fee. And then it talks about how that's going to be done. It describes the health care services to be provided in exchange for payment of a periodic fee. It specifies the periodic fee required and any additional fees that may be charged. And this is one of the cases where if the doctor sews you up, his action of sewing you up is a part of what you've already paid for. But the materials that he uses to sew you up may be an additional charge because that's what it costs the doctor. It also may allow the periodic fee of any additional fees to be paid by a third party. One of the practices that I'm aware of has a small business that can't afford to provide health insurance for their employees. And so what they do is they pay the contractual fee for their employees, thus giving them access to a doctor that is paid for on a monthly basis and yet isn't a full insurance product. It prohibits the provider from charging or receiving additional compensation for services that he already has in the contract. So you can't, the doctor can't double dip. He can't have the contract that people pay and then charge insurance for the same thing. And in the agreement on G on page 3, it conspicuously and prominently states that the agreement is not health insurance and does not meet any individual health mandate that may be required by federal law. And then the next section, 2622301, talks about prepaid hospital. This is also in the insurance code. Prepaid hospital, medical, surgical, or other health service plans that are subject to the provisions of the code, and this is one of the exceptions. It does not apply to direct primary care agreement. So that's the bill. I can tell you a little bit more about direct primary care. This is not a new concept. It's been around for quite a while. In the beginning, people called it concierge medication, but that was different. They still did all the billing. They still charged you for things, but when you paid the monthly fee, then you had access, more additional, enhanced access to your physician. But the way this works with the physicians that are practicing this in Wyoming right now is they set a fee. Most of them do not based on your health record, but based on your age. And then you pay this monthly fee. What you get in exchange is your doctor's cell phone number. And you can either call the office or you can call his cell phone number. It slows down the usage of the emergency room. There are a lot of things that if you could just text your doctor and say, should I worry about this, then he'll call you back later when he has an open slot and he can direct you further as to whether you should worry about it or whether, no, let's keep an eye on it. It doesn't prevent the physician from checking on you when you're in the hospital, but he does not become your hospital physician. While we're living in this age of a lack of direct primary care providers, this is a good solution to recruit young doctors to be direct primary care physicians. And the reason is that it improves the quality of life for the doctor. They have a specific number of patients that they treat, and even though they're on call 24/7, patients seem to be so far very respectful of their physician and his time. But on the same token, the physician is free to do house calls. He's free to check on you when you're in the hospital. There are a lot of things that he can do. And so at this time I just stand for questions. And if there are none, then I would call for the question.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I totally support this. I think it's an important step in reduction of primary care medical cost spiraling that we've seen over the last few years. However, the easiest way I look at it is it's kind of like when you buy a durable good of some kind, like a computer or even a car, and you buy a warranty with it, and you pay a little extra throughout the life of the thing, and it protects you from mechanical costs or whatever. However, if you look at F says it prohibits a provider from charging or receiving additional compensation for health care services included in the periodic fee. How can we modify that a little bit so that there's a, I don't know how to say it, kind of a moderate token deductible each time you visit? Because I happen to know a number of people in my community that they get lonely at home and they want to go see the doctor, so they have somebody to talk to, and this would invite that kind of thing unless there's some deductible, and I'm not talking about a $50 a visit deductible, but you know, just like a token $5 or something like that, that would act as a deterrent to the hazard that this particular paragraph F invites.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for that question. Actually, the doctors plan on that. They plan on overutilization at the beginning of the contract. And so, and your analogy to a warranty, I'm thinking, oh, if I could have had a warranty on my kids, this would be great. Wouldn't it be awesome to take him to the doctor three times on Labor Day weekend and not get charged for the emergency room? So what this does is, in that periodic fee, they plan for, there are some months that you use this a lot and some months you don't use it at all. And two of the doctors that I'm familiar with that follow this model, I ask them, what do you do about the hypochondriac that comes all the time? And they said it is amazing that while they serve them in a typical setting for medical care, they were hypochondriacs. But it only takes a little time for them to learn to trust that their doctor cares, their doctor will answer the phone, their doctor will be there. And in fact, one of them has an 85-year-old lady that just needed to move more. And so he'd stop over at her house and take her for a walk around the block every day. And she quit calling. She just needed to know somebody cared. So they don't need an additional. They plan into their fee what they expect to get back out of it. And what they want is a living wage, something that they that is in keeping with their education, and they say the rest of it just works itself out.
Chairman Madden?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman. One of your committee people, while you were talking and I was trying to listen to you, said that there's nothing in here that would preclude
a doctor or a provider, at any rate, to charge a different rate when they renegotiate a new annual or however periodic fee. Is there a way? And essentially, that would take care of it if you said that if you keep coming in here like you have the last year, I'm going to charge you X number of dollars a month more or something like that.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 49, do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 49 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 56 from Labor, an act relating to the Medical Assistance and Services Act, authorizing payment for services rendered by a dietitian under the Medical Assistance and Services Act and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 56, Dietitian Reimbursement, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Stevenson, Nicholas voted no, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 56 do pass. There are no standing committees from the Committee of Origin, but I just heard that there's one from Appropriations, so I'll turn the explanation over to Representative Wilson.
Chairman, or excuse me, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To my knowledge, actually, there are no amendments from Appropriations. So I'm just going to go on ahead. This is a one-sentence bill that came out of our interim work on healthcare access in the Labor Committee. So if you'll look at page 2, there's the bill, line 1. And this is actually not even a new service, and there's not any new money either. The simple explanation is that Medicaid patients can receive services of a licensed dietitian now. However, it's channeled through the hospital fee, and so we're not able to keep track of the costs and benefits of having the nutritional counseling, and we would like to be able to do that better by listing them as an independent coverage. The patient can get outpatient counseling, and it's not run through the hospital bill. We can do tracking. If you look actually at the fiscal note on the bottom of the page, you'll notice that the fiscal note folks just assumed a return on investment of a break even for every dollar spent on nutritional counseling, you get back a dollar. But actually, national research shows a return of investment of about 14 to 1. And you can visualize, obviously, that if a person has cardiac disease or diabetes, you can actually decrease their healthcare costs a lot by good nutritional counseling. And so we're trying to encourage this and just make it easier to keep track of the services. So that's the entire purpose of the bill. And now, stand for any questions. Otherwise, call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 56 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 56 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 59 from Appropriations, an act relating to administration of government, providing for the option to withdraw an employee's entire account balance from the deferred compensation plan during the permissible withdrawal period and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 59, Deferred Compensation Automatic Enrollment Amendments-2, respectfully, report saying back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 59 do pass, and for the explanation of the bill, I turn it over to the good representative from Carbon.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, last session we passed a bill that allowed for automatic enrollment in the state's deferred compensation plan. When you become an employee of the state, you're automatically enrolled, and you have to opt out. Under the rules, you have 90 days to opt out. And what happens is in that 90 days or 3 months period, the state also contributes $20 a month to your contribution, as long as it's $20 a month. If you opt out, the state would normally have to cut a separate check and go back and deduct out their $60 maximum in order to let you take whatever you've put in it. What this bill does is says that you get your entire account balance, which includes the $60 from the state. That's it in a nutshell. It's actually more expensive to pull that $60 out than it is to pay it, to manually write a check. A lot of people don't realize how costly it is for the state to write a manual check. And that's what it does. The bill's all described on page 2. In the middle, says total account balance and deletes the bottom three lines. That's it in a nutshell. Since July and October of last year, there were 182 people automatically enrolled, and there was only one permissible withdrawal. So this isn't something that happens on a continuing basis, probably a couple times a year at the most. And I'd stand for questions. Question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 59 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senate File 59 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Majority floor, Leader Berger.
Thank you very much. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. The motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the report.
Mr. Speaker, a committee of the whole having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 7, recommended do pass. Senate File 8, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 23, recommended do pass. Senate File 26, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 46, recommended do pass. Senate File 47, recommended do pass. Senate File 49, recommended do pass. Senate File 56, recommended do pass. Senate File 59, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Walters, Chairman.
Representative Walters.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Congratulations. Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, committee number 2, appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 36, engrossed LLC member and manager liability, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas and Stubson, signed by Representative Moniz, Vice Chairman. Madam Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, February 23rd, 2016.
Committee reports.
Did you mean announcements, Mr. Speaker?
That's what I meant, Chairman Harvey.
Okay,
thank you.
I'll do that then. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tonight in about 10 minutes in room H37, where we will hear three bills, Senate File 44, Senate File 57 engrossed, Senate File 45 engrossed.
Chairman Zwanzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Highway, Transportation, and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow night, 10 minutes after adjournment, to hear five bills. Senate File number 9, Engrossed Railroad Quiet Zones. Senate File number 4, Military Service Member Protections. Senate File 3, Permissive Preference for Veterans and Private Employment. And if introduced and referred, Senate File number 12, Engrossed Vietnam War Commemoration number 2. And if introduced and referred, Senate File 33, Engrossed Vehicle Registration Shell Businesses.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 2 will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. to discuss Senate amendments to Senate File 001, General Government Appropriations. And after that discussion, we will hear Senate File 68, Engrossed Budget Shortfall Measures, Senate File 40, Engrossed Abandoned Mineland Funds, Senate File 75, Engrossed Criminal Trespass to Collect Data Amendments, and time permitting, Senate File 76, Engrossed Civil Trespass to Collect Data Amendments, and also any re-referred bills as time allows.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H36 to discuss Senate File 31, Water Bill.
Chairman Zwanzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess to hear Senate File 34, Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets, Senate File 38, Data Management Policies, and if referred tomorrow morning, we'll hear Senate File 63, Economic Development Programs, and Senate File 65, Patent Trolling.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight, 10 minutes upon adjournment, and we will hear Senate File 15, which is Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility, Senate File 32, Alternative School Accountability.
Representative Kirkbride.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The legislative prayer breakfast moves to Tuesday this week only from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. in the room L51 down the hall. This week we'll hear from Director of Workforce Services, John Cox.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.